How many know we serve a great God tonight? How many God's been so great in your life? Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your greatness, your awesomeness. There's no one to compare. There's no one in the same category. Truly, you are God and you're God all by yourself. We just bless you. We're so glad to be your children. We're so glad that our redemptive realities are really true. Eternity has really begun on the inside of us. You really have a place called heaven waiting on us, Father God. We thank you for the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of us right now. And he's quickening our mortal bodies. Father, thank you for all of your goodness, your greatness, and your power that you display toward us. Tonight, as we come before you with the mighty word, the word is no ordinary book. The word is no dead man's book. Oh, but the word is alive tonight. The word is alive and full of power. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our very hearts. Father, thank you for the mighty word. Thank you. You never send your word on a mission that it fails to accomplish what you intended. And tonight you have the word on a mission, on an assignment tonight. And so we yield ourselves to you. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance tonight. Thank you. Speak a word into every listening ear. Speak a word into every eye that's watching. Speak a word into every heart. Speak, Father, to every situation. Speak to every circumstance. Speak as only you can speak. Speak. You know every situation, every circumstance that we face. Father, speak a mighty word to every listening ear tonight. We give you the glory for it. Your word is our strength. Your word is our direction. Your word is our power. Your word is everything we need. Our answer is in your word tonight. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight. Oh, the great paraclete. Thank you. He's the one called alongside to help. Thank you. He's our strengthener. Thank you. He's our advocate, the truth revealer. He's the one who reminds us of the things that Jesus has said. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. He's our comforter, our counselor, our guide, our strengthener, our standby. Oh, thank you for the Spirit and the Word tonight. So we just yield ourselves to you. We thank you for unction and utterance. We'll give you, we thank you for our pastors tonight. We love them. You've given us the best pastors on the planet. You've given us right here at Rama Bible Church. And we thank you for just continuing to bless them as they finish their vacation. Continue to refresh and bless them, Father God. We thank you for them and love you for giving them to us. Thank you for all that should be done and wrought in our midst. In Jesus' name, we'll give you all the glory now and forevermore. Say amen if you agree with that. Amen. We'll turn and wave at somebody else and you can find your seat. Praise God. As you're looking for your seat, you can turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 37. We're going to begin tonight in Isaiah chapter 37. Someone says, where are Pastor and Mrs. Hagin? Hey, they are in the last phase of their vacation. You know, they work so hard, tirelessly. And how many know they deserve, the man and woman of God, what little time they can get, they deserve to get it. Praise God. And, you know, they're always, our pastors are constantly in need. They are more than pastors. Even, you know, during times like camp meeting, I know they are always in demand. They are ministering to ministers. They are helping people. And in their automobile, they're helping people. I've seen them at camp meeting. They spend their whole time ministering to people in their home, in the back room, in their automobile. And so praise God, they can get a little bit of time. But I do know this, pastor will be here this Sunday. And so you be here this Sunday and pastor will be bringing the word and glory to God. We'll be fed well. So where did I tell you to go? Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version tonight. I'm going to read verses 33 through 36, if you'd be so kind. We're in Isaiah chapter 37. I'm going to read verses 33 through 36 from the New American Standard. Look at someone and tell them, you'd better learn how to trust God with that. Look at somebody else and tell them, I don't know what you're going through, but you better trust God with that. Tonight, our subject is on trusting God, and we're going to begin right here in Isaiah chapter 37 at verse 33. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, and he will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he will return. And he will not come to this city, declares the Lord, for I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 36, and then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. These three chapters really in Isaiah are powerful chapters. That is chapter 36, chapter 37, chapter 38. And they deal with Israel's history. As you know, here at this portion of scripture, there was a divided kingdom. Israel, in their disobedience to God, the kingdom had been divided between the northern kingdom, with Israel having Samaria as its capital, and then the southern kingdom with Judah having Jerusalem as its capital. And this year that starts out here, this takes place in 701 BC, 700 years before the birth of Christ. And in 701 BC, it seemed like all hell broke out against Judah. Israel had already gone through hell. They had disobeyed God, and their king had done some evil things in Israel, in the northern kingdom, and the king had compromised. He had allowed the people to worship other gods. He had accepted other gods. The king of Israel was building Asherah poles and promoting worship to other God except Jehovah God. How many know there ain't no other God except Jehovah God? He God, and he God all by himself. And he don't usually take kindly to someone trying to compare themselves to him. I said he's God by himself. There ain't nobody else. There ain't no other God. But in Israel's disobedience in the northern kingdom, they were worshiping other gods. They were mixing the worship of idols in with the worship of Jehovah, and God withdrew his protection from them, and they got taken over, and the king of Assyria took them over and make it so bad. He took all the people and he exported all the people out of Israel and sent them off to other lands. And he sent people with different gods and different cultures, brought them to Israel. And they, in the land that God gave his people, there was somebody else with a foreign god worshiping in Israel. It had gotten so bad. And when you read the chapter 36 is an amazing chapter because I'll just read how it starts out. Look at Isaiah 36. I'll just read a few lines here so you get the context, and I'll explain the rest for time. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, now King Hezekiah was, of course, from Judah, the southern kingdom. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the Fuller's Field. And then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. And then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? I say your counsel and strength for the war are only empty words. Now on whom do you rely, that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt." And he goes on, what's happening here? There's war about to break out against Judah in the southern kingdom. Hezekiah has been a godly king. Unlike his predecessors in Israel, Hezekiah, he was a godly king, and he was following the Lord, and he was promoting only worship to Jehovah. And all of a sudden, the king of Assyria, he shows up at Judah's border, and he sends his emissary out to talk to Hezekiah's emissaries. And what the emissary of Assyria says is, he says, my king is the greatest king there is, and he's going to just take your land and he's going to annihilate you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And he said, and you think you're going to be trusting in, he starts off saying, you know, you're not going to be able to, why do you have such confidence? He's saying to the leaders of Judah, why do you have such confidence? There's no way you're going to win. We've got a massive army. We've got you surrounded. Historians record that at that time, their king, Sennacherib, he had already conquered 46 surrounding villages and cities. He had already taken them. And this place, Lachish, L-A-C-H-I-S-H, that place was just west of Judah. And what the Assyrians would do is, before they took a major city, a major town like Judah, before they took Jerusalem like that, what they'd do is they would take all the other towns. They would defeat all the other surrounding cities so there was nowhere to run. And then from the final city that they conquered, just before they go to get Judah, they said, "We've already got everything. You don't have any hope. There's nobody to trust in." And this king from Assyria starts boasting, starts bragging. He sounds just like the devil. When you read 36, he's boasting, saying there's nobody you can trust in. He goes so far, he says, he sends this message to Hezekiah. He says, "I heard that you tried to make a pact with Egypt, but they're going to be like a splinter in your hand. I already heard about it. I've already got Egypt defeated." He says, "I know that you're trying to trust in other things, but nothing you trust in is going to work." And then when you read chapter 36, they say there, the emissaries for Hezekiah, they say to the king's emissaries, "Please talk to us in a different language. We understand different languages. We don't want the people to hear what's going on. The people are on the wall. They're over listening to the conversation. These Syrians are saying there's nobody you can trust in. Your God can't help you. God can't even save you." They're saying in chapter 36, God himself can't save you. There's nobody for you to trust in. And so they say, "Please don't say that. Our people are listening." And they said, oh, "We want your people to hear it." And they said, "What we want," and they say to the people, "Surrender. Because if you surrender, we won't kill you. And if you surrender, we're going to cart you out of here and we're going to take you to a land that's flowing with grapes, that's flowing with fruit, that's flowing with water, and we're going to make you servants in that land." They're talking to people who God himself gave them that land. God had already made Israel a promise. He'd already made Judah a promise. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. God himself gave. God cleared out the inhabitants of the land and he gave Israel and Judah that land. And here this foolish king starts saying, "Not even God himself can help you. There's nobody to trust in." And he says, "Tell your king, Hezekiah, tell him just to surrender. There's nobody he can trust in. There's no help for you." And he's bragging because he's just defeated 46 other kingdoms. And with that type of braggadocious, arrogant, "Not even God can help you," the word is brought back to Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah receives a word of what has happened, and again, I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time, but Hezekiah gets word of it in 37. In Isaiah 37, the emissaries come back and they tell Hezekiah, "We're surrounded. We're outnumbered, we're surrounded, we're going to be slaves." And Hezekiah, he tears his clothes, he puts on sackcloth and ashes, he runs into the house of God, and he falls on his face and starts praying to God. And he tells his emissaries, "Go tell Isaiah the prophet, to pray. We've got to turn to God, we've got to pray to the Lord, we've got to trust in God." 7 times in these 2 chapters, the word rely or trust is used. Clearly, this is a battle for whose trust. Who in the midst of adversity, who is Hezekiah going to trust? And he shows his hand right away. He runs straight to the house of God. And Hezekiah says, "God, we're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. We can't defeat this army. We can't defeat them. They've defeated all these people. All the cities of Mesopotamia that were great cities, fortified cities." Hezekiah says, "God, they've already defeated all them. There's no hope. We have no more help." But he says this, "But you are God. And there is no other God but you." And he said, "God, don't let him mock you. He's talking to us, but he's really mocking you." And he said, Hezekiah was saying, God, we are your people. We're your people. Don't let him do that." And it was so bad. It got so bad. Then when you read chapter 38, 38 is that famous story about how Isaiah comes to the palace and he tells Hezekiah, "Get your life in order." God said, "Get your life in order because you're going to die." And remember, Hezekiah turns his face toward the wall. He weeps bitter tears. He repents to God and he prays to God. And before Isaiah can leave, Isaiah's out in the courtyard getting ready to leave. And God speaks to Isaiah, the prophet, and says, turn around, go back in there. And tell the king, tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. And tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. And so Isaiah goes back in there and he tells, now when you read, you know, reading chapter 38, and again, for the sake of time, it looks like 38 would naturally come in sequence after 37, but really 38 actually happens before Judah is delivered. And so 38 is not in chronological order. 38 is really in a theme, if you follow the theme of what's happening. 38 is in thematic order, not in chronological order. And you can see this just for the sake of your own reading, whatever, just write down 2 Kings 18, 13 through 20. 2 Kings 18, 13 through 20. Because that's a parallel passage, but in 2 Kings, it's in chronological order. Okay, why did you say that, Brother Bill? Because here in 38, in Isaiah 38, where you see that King Hezekiah was sick, this is a tremendous problem. He's got a king chanting satanic, you know, stuff, only stuff that Satan himself could come up with. And he's gonna take Judah. There's nobody to trust in. He's saying, don't trust in the Lord. Don't try to trust in the Lord. Not even your God can save you. And on top of that, Hezekiah is deathly ill. He's battling a problem for the whole nation of Judah. And he's battling a personal problem at the same time. And yet God delivers him from both of those problems. I said, you better learn how to trust God. I don't know what you're facing tonight, my brother and sister, but I do know this. The Lord told me to come here and tell you that whatever you're facing, no matter how big, no matter how daunting, no matter how big the problem, no matter how unsolvable the problem, God told me to come down here and tell you that if you'll trust him, if you'll believe him, if you'll quote his word, that he'll bring you through. That he'll bring you out just like he brought Judah out. When the king Hezekiah went into the house of God in chapter 37 and he said, God, there's no other God but you. We're trusting in you. He said, I know that king told me I couldn't trust you, but I'm trusting you. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what the answer is, but I know one thing. I'm trusting in you. I said, you may not know the answer to your problem, but I can tell you your resolution comes from trusting God tonight. And if you'll trust him, no matter what you're going through, if you'll put your trust in him, he'll lead you out to the victory. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. That king had been boasting. He said, I'm going to march through your town. I'm going to take over your cities. I'm going to pull all your people out. I'm going to send them to foreign lands. I'm going to make them servants. I'm going to bring in people who don't even know your God. I'm going to bring them right to your city. We're going to put idols up all over this city. And we're going to praise our idols in this city. I'm going to march all over this city. And when Hezekiah got done praying, God told him the first part of the passage we read in 33, Isaiah 37 and 33 through 36. God said, he said to the king, Hezekiah, don't worry about this. He said, don't worry about this. Just trust me. He said, because that king will never set foot in Judah. He said, that king will turn around and he'll march back the same way he tried to march in here. God said, I'm going to march him right back out of here, right to where he came. And God said, don't worry about it, King Hezekiah, because I've got victory. I've got the victory. I know just what to do. I'm going to give Judah the victory, and you're going to walk in victory. Nobody's going to harm this city. And God said, hey, this is my city, and I'm going to defend my people. I'm going to defend my city, and don't you worry about it. You trust me. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord went through the camp of the Assyrians that same night and slayed 185,000 soldiers. The king of Assyria had been bragging so much, he said, you know what I'll do? Your God can't help you. Nobody can help you. You in an untenable situation. Nobody. The king of Assyria had just said, he said, I'll give you 2,000 horses because I know you don't even have trained soldiers to put on them. That's how bad your situation. He said, I'll give you 2,000 horses before I beat you. He just boasted. But God said, he's not going to step foot in here. 185,000 Assyrians died that night, and that king marched himself right back the way he came. And God defeated them, and Judah had the victory. And God's got victory for you. And if God could deliver Hezekiah from situations and circumstances beyond any believable help in the natural, from a natural perspective. Hey, God told me to tell you, he's got your answer. God knows exactly what to do. I said, he's an awesome God and he knows what to do about your situation. You say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what we're going to do. Somebody said, I'm facing an eviction. Someone said, I've lost my job. Someone said, I've got trials in my family. Someone said, I'm struggling in my body. But hey, God said, he's got your answer tonight. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. God said, he's got the answer for you tonight. And if you'll trust him, I want to say in these moments that we have left, number one, call on his awesome name. I want to say in this time that we have left, number two, cling to his precious promises. And I want to say in this time that we have left, cast your cares upon the Lord. Call on his awesome name. If you'll cling to his precious promises, and if you'll cast your cares on the Lord sent me here to tell you that that's a win-win-win formula. And if you'll call on his awesome name, why? First of all, because he's an awesome God. And there is nobody else like him. I said, he's an awesome God. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 40. God said, call on his name. Whatever you're facing, whatever difficult, no matter how hard it is, if you'll call on his name in faith. I said, call on his name. Hezekiah learned how to call on his name. Hezekiah was facing insurmountable circumstances. Hezekiah was facing an untenable situation. Oh, but God already had that thing worked out. He was just waiting on Hezekiah to trust him. He was waiting on Hezekiah to turn to him. He's waiting on you, hey, to turn to him and trust him. And if you'll trust him tonight, God's got the answer. God's got the answer. Call on his awesome name. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says this at verse 12, Isaiah 40, verse 12, that God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. And he's marked off the heavens by the span. And he's calculated the dust of the earth by the measure. And he's weighed the mountains in a balance. I said, that's an awesome God right there. If you think about how expansive the universe is, if you think about how deep the ocean is, the Bible says he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. I said, he's an awesome God. Hey, the Bible says right here in Isaiah 40, verse 12, he's marked the heavens by a span. He's measured. You think of the expanse of the universe, God measured it by a span because he's an awesome God. I said, he's calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, weighed the mountains in a balance. Only an awesome God could do that. I said, if you'll call on his awesome name, over in chapter 40 in verse 22, the Bible says this, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers to him. I said, I wish I had an amen from the people of God. I said, we serve a God so awesome. He sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants are just like grasshoppers. Yes, amen. I said, we're talking about a God who can do anything but fail. If you'll learn how to call on his awesome name. Somebody help me say, call on his awesome name. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 30. Look at chapter 40 at verse 30. If you'll call on his awesome name, Isaiah 40 and verse 30, though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I said, he's an awesome God. Go with me. We're running. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. I said, there is no other God. Our God is the only God. And he's got the answer not just to your measly problem. He's got the answer to every problem. He's just waiting on us to put our trust in him. He'll reveal his awesomeness, his wisdom, his knowledge of what to do. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. I said, somebody ought to call on his awesome name. Look down at verse 8, Isaiah 44, verse 8. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? Are you not my witnesses? Is there any God besides me? Is there any other rock? I know of none. I said, our God is an awesome God. He's a rock. He can be trusted in the time of adversity. It doesn't matter what you're facing. If you'll put your trust in God tonight, I said, God will help you. He'll deliver you. He'll give you the wisdom you need. He'll give you the protection you need. He'll give you the provision you need. Hey, what is it that you need from God? God's got your answer tonight. Over in Isaiah 45, verse 5, Isaiah 45 and verse 5, God said, I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. Down there in Isaiah 45 at verse, the end of 14, looks like the end of verse 14. The end of verse 14 says, surely God is with you, and there is no one else, no other God. What's your point, brother? Hey, if you'll call on him, call on his awesome name, call on his awesome name, number one. Secondly, listen, cling to his precious promises. The first thing that King Hezekiah did, he went into the temple, into the house of God, and he called on God's awesome name. And I'll tell you this, we've been given a name that's greater than any other name. We've been given a name, that name of Jesus. God has bestowed upon him the name which is greater than any other name. Glory be to God. The name we've been given carries authority in heaven, authority in the earth, authority under the earth. In three different realms, that name, the name of Jesus, carries authority. Amen. Call on his awesome name. Call on his awesome name. But secondly, listen, cling to his precious promises. Go back to Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Cling to his precious promises. Oh, for every circumstance, for every adversity, for every situation, there's a promise that's got you covered. I said, God's got you covered. It's in the book. What are you facing? It's in the book. Somebody said, well, I'm fearful. What's going on? Just look about what's going on in the culture. Look about what's happening in the society. I'm fearful about what's happening. Oh, you don't have to be afraid. God's got you covered. Oh, praise God. If we'll just stand in faith. And Isaiah 41 verse 10, the Bible says, do not fear. God says, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my rod. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, God said, hey, in the body of Christ, we don't have to be afraid. God's got us covered. Praise God. He said, I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll be there with you. You don't have to look around anxiously. I'm there with you. Go over to Isaiah 43. Call on his awesome name. Secondly, this is what we're talking about now. Cling to his precious promises. Peter says, whereby have been given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, Isaiah 43, the second part of verse 1. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, somebody said, hey, I'm going through the waters. God said, you know what? You might be going through the waters, but I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And somebody said, I'm going through the fire. Keep reading. He says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I said, God's got you covered. You say, brother, you don't know what I'm facing. I'm facing an eviction notice. I'm going through the fire. I said, God said, he'll bring you out of the fire. You won't even smell like smoke. If you'll trust him in the midst of what you're going through, God will deliver you. God will see you through. Look at 43 and verse 16. Isaiah 43 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse. You know what that's really saying? God can make a way where there is no way. Right. You can't see what God's going to do. God just said, your job is to trust him. Your job is to find his promise, put your faith in his promise, get his promise in your heart, get his promise coming out of your mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the spirit of faith. Get the promise of God coming out. Cling to his precious promises. Get his promises coming out of your mouth. And oh, there's a great deliverance coming for you. I said, there's a great. God can make a way out of no way where there is no way. God can make a way when there is no way. I said, he can make a way when there is no way. Verse 19, behold, 43, verse 19, behold, I do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I got a thing. I can make a way where there is no way. You say, I don't have the money to make it through the end of the month. Hey, God can make a way where there is no way. You don't have to see what he's doing for him to do it. You don't have to feel what he's doing for him to do it. You just have to trust him. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. If you'll call on his awesome name, if you'll cling to his precious promises, and if you'll cast your cares upon the Lord, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 tells us, casting all your cares on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Casting all your cares. Humble yourself. 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Most of the time, my brother and sister, we as believers, our problem is not casting our cares on the Lord. Most of the time, our problem is taking those cares right back from him. We cast our cares on the Lord and then we pull those cares right back off of him. I cast my cares on the Lord. Yeah, you may have cast your cares on the Lord, then you took them back. When we give way to worry, when we give way to fear, when we let the wrong things start coming out of our mouth, what happened? You may have cast your burden on the Lord, but you took it back. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 said, be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. John 14, 27, Isaiah 26, verse 3. We could go on and on. God, Jesus is the Lord of peace. Do you realize he's the Lord of peace? Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's the Lord of peace. And he longs to give you and I his peace. My brother and sister, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Sometimes people have been facing situations where the devil's been talking to you, the devil's been yelling at you, and the devil's been screaming things at you. And that devil, he starts talking proud and talking himself so proud. But we're going to sing this song. It's a song that you know. Can we play it? They weren't able to play it here tonight, so can we play it back here? I want you just to sing along. Just sing along. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There's no God. No God as big as your God. There's no God. Come on, say.
There's no God as big as mine.
Come on, say.
Too big of a problem.
Come on.
You just can't find it all. It makes no difference
what
the devil tries. I tell you, there's no God as big as mine.
Hallelujah. There's no God as big as our God. And he's the only God. Glory to his name. Take your seat just for a moment. As we close tonight, I want to share one final scripture in closing. It's Isaiah 59:1. God says in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, that might not apply to everybody tonight, but if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ into your life, there's something hindering between you and God. There's something between you and God, and you need to take care of that tonight. You may be watching over a live stream or watching some other way, and let me tell you, if you've never repented of your sins, there's something between you and God that's going to keep him from working in that powerful way for you. He loves you. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. But oh, God longs to be your deliverer, your mighty deliverer. And I tell you, if there's anything between you and God tonight, I'm going to say a prayer really quick, and I want you to pray that prayer after me. If you're here and you've never prayed to receive Christ, or if you're here and you've backslidden, oh, tonight's your night to come on home. Every head's bowed just for a moment. We're going now. Every head's bowed just for a moment. Let me see your hand. You've never prayed to receive Christ. Lift your hand. You've never prayed to receive Christ. I want to do it tonight, preacher. I want to pray with you tonight. I want you to pray. Pray for me tonight. Anybody in here? Anybody in here? You're in a backslidden condition. You're backslidden. You know you need to get right with God. Yes, I see your hand. Say, anybody else? I'm back. I want to get right with God. I want to get right with God. There's no God as big as your God. He loves you and he wants to help you tonight. Let's pray. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Those of you who are viewing some other way, thank you so much. Praise God. Let's pray together. Just say this prayer out loud. Everybody say it. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. repenting of my sins, asking for your forgiveness. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins. He was crucified, but you raised him from the dead. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And so I thank you from this moment forward that Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, I want to congratulate you. Let's give them a big hand. Praise God. People right here in this live service, people watching that way. If you're watching through live stream or YouTube or however, we want you to let us know that you prayed that prayer. Send an email to partnerservice@rhema.org. And if you're here in this live service and you prayed, then catch one of our ushers and let them know. We'll give you some free materials. My brother and sister, stand up on your feet. Praise God as we go tonight. Praise God. You just remember there's no God as big as your God. And whatever you're facing, you just remember, call on his awesome name. And just remember, cling to his precious promises. And then just remember, cast your cares upon the Lord. And God will deliver you no matter what the situation is. All right, Father, we leave you with the word. We leave and trust the Holy Spirit to confirm in the hearts of everyone the way that they need it. And we'll thank you for it until we see him again. In Jesus' name, amen.